With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I'm your host, as always, Evil Eddie, and today we have a special guest from right here on the East Coast. We got Leon Davis with a record of 11-3, and man, he's trying to get it in this year inside the mixed martial arts scene. His last fight was for CES, and man, he hasn't even lost since 2015. I have a lot to discuss with him. What's going on, Leon? How's your night going, man? It's 10:30. How you doing?
My night's going good. Just heading into work and everything. It's a nice day. Nice day out there. Got some gardening done and everything. So, getting it in.
Whoa. So let me stop you right there. Before we jump into everything, you have a house, an apartment. Like, I know there's a lot of guys out there that take a lot of pride in their gardens, their yard work. What do you got? You got a house?
Yeah, I got a house.
You got a pool? Are you able to cool off by the pool or anything?
No, I don't got no pool, man. I got a house. That's it. That's enough. I got a house with a big yard.
And a sprinkler.
Some sprinklers. If I need to go swimming, I'll just fill up my bathtub with cold water and sit in it.
Yeah, I feel that. That's what a lot of fighters do. So let me ask you a couple questions, man. Your last fight was in 2017. It's been kind of a rough road trying to get a fight, man. Is it frustrating? Are you anxious to get back in there? How are you feeling personally and physically to... Are you anxious to fight as a fighter? Like, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm excited to, get back in there. I've been, training with some new teams and everything. I fight out of Triforce MMA and Team Link now, so it's been a little bit of adjustment, but everything's going good. I have awesome coaches, Pete Jeffrey, Dave Keith, Greg Verbello, Michael Alvin, of course, and Jay Franklin. I got top-notch coaches that work with me and everything, and they all believe in me 110%. They all constantly tell me I should be in the UFC, and they want to see me there. My manager's working hard to get me in. We're just trying to get fights and fights. I had to take obviously a year and a half off for the police academy. But now that I'm back, I won't put everyone on notice, and I'm going back down to 155, so.
Let me ask you a question about that, because that's always something I've been interested in. My family is in the medical scene. I went to EMT school. Unfortunately, I never took the big test at the end. My mom's a nurse at Yale here in New Haven. My stepfather was a firefighter in New Haven. Is that something that you've always been interested in, like following that path?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a police officer. It's a great career, and I've always been the kind of person to help people. All my teammates in the past, I've always helped 110%. I'm a head coach of a wrestling team at Minnetonka Regional High School, so I try to help kids not only get good at wrestling and develop skills to be champions, but I also I want them to succeed in life. I kind of point them in the right direction, and hey, this worked for me, to get into this college. This is how I was choosing colleges. This is, the go to, I help my guys, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when for a career, when you're an adult, what do you want to do? Because, a lot of the kids around here, they're cool for just sports. And then once, they either don't know what they're going to do as a job, as a career. So I try to help out, and I don't even just do it for my team. I do it for, some of the Springfield Central guys. I sit down and talk with a lot of kids, but especially with my wrestlers, I try to, lead them in the right direction.
I think that's a really important thing, because at least for our generation, when we were in school, yeah, we learned about history. Yeah, we learned about this and that in science, but we never understood what we were really supposed to do after school. Like for me, I grew up in the city, but I was going to school in the suburbs. So the only thing that was important to me was making connections with people and being popular and being on the sports. But after high school's over, that's it. A lot of guys peak in high school. They don't know what to do afterwards.
Yeah, that's a big problem, you know. Me personally, I try to tell kids, you know, look, your friends now, in 10 years, it's going to be completely different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell them, I'm like, look, I don't even talk to half the people I went to high school with. Like, if I see them at the supermarket, I'm like, and they come up to, hey, Leon Davis, how's it going? Sometimes I have a blank look in my face, like, who the hell are you? You know, I'm like, who are you? You know?
It's weird, though, because...
I don't even remember, yeah.
It's weird because in high school...
Yeah, I try to tell them that. I'm like, hey, it doesn't matter if you're the coolest person in the high school. In 5 years, you want to be a successful young adult. You don't want to be that person that peaked in high school and now he's at the bar ripping down fucking beers every fucking night, you know? It's not a good thing, you know? So I try to lead people, my kids in the right directions at least.
Before we move on from that topic, I just, you know, my little sister, I tried explaining that exact thing to her. She just dropped out of high school because she thought the most important thing was hanging out with her friends. Her friends are more important than her family. And, you know, going out at night and partying is going to last forever. That is not the case. And even if you're on a sports team, it's so hard to make it. But I think it's even more important to, if you find somebody on the wrestling team that actually does have talent, or even somebody that, you know, is breaking out of their shell, somebody that doesn't usually do sports or talk to people, and you see a talent with them, to actually, you know, motivate them. I think that's so important in high school to actually make the path for your future. I think it all really depends on what you're learning in high school, and it doesn't have to be in the classroom. It's usually what you learn outside the classroom that you reflect on the most.
I agree. Yeah, I agree 110% with what you're saying. You know, the fortunate thing for me is the way that I coach my kids is like every single kid on my team. If you look at them, they are studs, and not only on the wrestling mat, but in life. I don't have one kid that doesn't succeed on the mat and doesn't succeed in the classroom. And that's what you want. You know what I mean? And that doesn't contribute how good of a coach I am, but that contributes to their parents too, how good of parents they have, you know? And it was the same thing when I coached in the inner city. I coached a bunch of, you know, kids in Holyoke, which is a city, you know, lower end city, but I had the same results. So, you know, the formula that I use works in all aspects of life.
It's definitely important to have a good role model in high school, because a lot of my role models died after Derek Jeter. I mean, there's a lot of these kids that look up to rappers nowadays that, you know, influence drugs, influence, you know, the wrong reasons to live. But let's move past that. It's Tuesday night right now. Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series just went down, and I'm looking at your Instagram, man. You actually went out there with my boy Slippery Pete. You went to go see Richard? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, so Richie Santiago is one of my teammates out on Triforce, and I actually had vacation time. I had a week vacation, and it was funny. So I was like, dude, when are you fighting? We're at Lozon's training, because I go and train there every Saturday morning, you know. And we're just talking, and he's like, yeah, I'm fighting July 23rd. I'm like, hold it, you're fighting June 23rd? I'm like, dude, I think I have that week off. Do you need any help or anything? He's like, yeah, dude, if you want to come out, man, that'd be freaking awesome. So I ended up coming out there, you know, training at the PI. It was a blast, you know. Honestly, that trip opened, like, not only my eyes, but Coach Pete's eyes, how what level I'm at. Like, it was just, like, insane. Like, you're seeing, like, you know, like, Cody Stevens and, like Tim Elliott. It's, like, I'm going with these guys, and it's, like, not even, like, a competition. It's, like, I'm just, like, my wrestling's, like, they're, like, complimenting my wrestling. You know, they're complimenting me on my jiu-jitsu, my striking, how I strike the takedowns, the jiu-jitsu, and just mix everything up, you know. Richie looked freaking good, too, in his fight, you know what I mean?
That's so interesting that you say that, because I heard that same exact quote a couple years ago when I interviewed another guy here on the East Coast, Jimmy Rivera, who's at the top of the bantamweight division inside the UFC, just losing to Marlon. But, you know, he said the same thing when he went to go train at Team Alpha Male alongside TJ Dillashaw. He was like, when I showed up there, I set this bar. I put them on a pedestal. But when I was there actually training with them, I was like, wow, I can actually stand and bang with these guys. I'm at this level, if not higher.
Well, it's funny. Like, I was obviously doing, you know, really good. And Mike Fulvera had to pull me aside and be like, Leon, you can't go to fucking people's places and piss in their cornflakes. I'm like, Mike, I'm just training, man. I'm just going and trying my best. He's like, I know, but you can't piss in other people's cornflakes. I'm like, okay, I guess. But Pete was like, Pete Jeffrey was just like, yo, keep on doing what you're doing. You're looking fucking great, you know. Everything that he's been teaching me and we've been working on, I was using. And it was literally like they had no answer for stuff that Pete's been teaching all of us. You know, it's just, he's like, Coach Pete's another level of jiu-jitsu. It's fucking crazy. Like, just a whole nother level. Stuff I've never seen, and I would never think of that. The way he shows it and teaches it, just, I've caught on so fast. It's just, it's amazing, you know?
Now, before we move on from this, from this conversation here, what was the Performance Institute like? What was it like actually at the new place where the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series is at? What was it? Paint the picture for everybody.
The Apex Center's nice. It's only friends and family, so it's kind of cool, but it's kind of a weird vibe. Like, if someone's going to fight on that show, you got to do something, because it's not like a regular show. It's a weird vibe. Like, the vibe is just weird. Like, it's very quiet. You can hear the coaches talking. You can hear everything. You know, the Performance Institute's real nice. You know, I saw Halle Berry there.
No way. Cool. Whoa. Yeah. Back up.
Yep.
Paint that picture. Walk us through that. What do you mean you met Halle Berry there? Whoa.
You can actually, if you ever interview Michael Pulvera, why don't you ask him about it? Because, you know, he had me dropping a few F-bombs.
Oh.
And, of course, as I'm dropping F-bombs and opening the door, Halle Berry's right there getting filmed. So that was my one experience with Halle Berry, dropping F-bombs in front of her.
Man,
thanks to Michael Pulvera.
That's so perfect. Let's talk about Mikey P, because he's such a great guy. Every time I've gone to one of his events, he's been nothing but professional, treating media like VIP. I honestly, one of my favorite people I've ever got to talk with or work with, really. So what's your history been like with him? And when's the first time you actually met him?
I really didn't know Mike before this trip.
Oh, wow, really?
I really didn't know him. I was like, oh, I knew who he was. I talked to him, hey, how's it going? How's everything? I'm Leon, you know. But we went out on a trip, and it was actually, he's actually a really, you know, nice guy. You know, I enjoyed my time with him. You know, I have no issues with him or anything. I genuinely, like, we had a good time. We were cracking, we grappled. You know, we're cracking jokes on each other the entire trip, you know, just talking shit to each other nonstop. It was literally kind of like a little short big brother and a taller, jacked little brother relationship. We were just cracking jokes, having a good time the entire time. That guy works his ass off, though, I will tell him that. But also, he's going to laugh, but he knows I'm going to mention it, that his office card, me and him shook hands that he was going to get me on the card. So, and I just keep on reminding him every day. He's like, I know, Leon, I know. Mike Pulvera, we shook hands. August, remember that. I did not forget.
So, wait, August what? Hey, really quick, let me mention this. For people that are listening on the podcast or watching this on Periscope, YouTube, or Facebook, Michael Pulvera is actually the guy who's in charge of Cage Titans and you train with Richie, and Richie does a show with Michael Poveri. So that's how these two intertwined. When is the show, and are you definitely interested in fighting on that card? Are you going to be looking for opponents, and when are you looking back to hear from Michael about that?
So August 24th or something like that is the show. We shook hands. We shook hands, and he said, hey, I'm going to get you on the card. We shook hands, and I was like, you're a man, Mike. Thank you so much. Because he knows, I just want to compete. You know, that's all I want to do. I don't care about the Facebook drama. I don't care about any other drama. Or any, I just want to compete. I've competed all my life in wrestling. You know, I like to compete. I do jiu-jitsu tournaments. I do as many competitions I can. You know, I just want to compete. That's it. And, you know, he understands that. For me, it's not about the money. I have a full-time job, you know. It's because I enjoy doing this. I love doing this, you know.
Now, obviously, with Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series going down right now, you have an amazing record, obviously, 11-3. But usually on the Contender Series, they don't take guys with, you know, 15 fights. But would that be something that you are interested in? Or are you a guy that shouldn't follow that path and you want to make it a different way? Because really quick, a lot of people that go in the Contender Series, they get the shot finally. It doesn't work out, and it might be, you know, twice as hard to make it back up to have another to be noticed once again by the top of the UFC.
Well, I'm lucky to have, you know, obviously the best manager and probably the Northeast, East Coast, you know, Tyson Chartier. So I'm basically just, whatever Tyson and my coaches say, whatever Tyson, Pete, and Dave basically tell me to do, I do. Like, they want me to fight. If they want me to fight on Contender Series, fine. You got it, guys. Hey, we want you to fight on Cage Fight. You got it. We want you to fight on Animal Fight League. You got it. Hey, Leon, hey, let's keep your weight down so when UFC on Boston comes, you know, hey, if someone falls out, we can hopefully slide you in at 55 or 7. You got it. Whatever. The thing about me is whatever my coaches tell me to do, I'm going to do. You know, I'm not a person where I do the exact opposite of what my coaches tell me to do. You know, I feel like I'm very coachable, and if they tell me something to do, I'm going to do it. When they want me to fight, I'm going to fight. You know, I don't need to worry about anything else other than training and getting better. That's the thing that's great. That is literally the thing that's great. That's why I love my coaches, because I literally have to just worry about training, eating right, working my full-time job, and getting better. That's it.
Now, one of my last questions to you here is, and I think this is a really important question that a lot of our listeners can relate to, is what do you do to keep your mind clear? Because no matter it is, you know, what you're doing, whether you're working a full-time job 60 hours a week, or you come home and you got a family to take care of, or, you know, you got a sick mother or brother, it could be frustrating sometimes, and we can all get into a little rut. What do you do to keep your mind clear and keep you level? What do you do to practice that?
Comic-Cons, my friend. Comic-Cons and comics.
Comic-Cons and comics. Is that what you said?
That's it. Yep. That is it.
Is that so with you just saying that, I got to guess that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Batman, all that was a big influence growing up to mixed martial arts. Is that how you found your interest? Or Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I'm more of a Marvel guy. So it's more like Spider-Man and X-Men.
Because if you ask Nick Newell, man, he'll be like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles till the end. So what were you like as a kid? Were you one of these kids that were, you know, super energetic? Or were you kind of, you know, to yourself and in your room wrestling with dolls? What were you like as a kid?
I was by myself, but I wasn't wrestling with dolls and everything.
I was, man. I had those beat-up dolls. Remember the WWF beat-up dolls?
Oh, yeah, the WWE, you know, Macho Man and yeah, all those guys, yeah. Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. I still got them.
Yeah, no, I was just quiet. I just chilled. I wrestled in high school, so I was busy. I was busy, you know, wrestling and, you know, just kept to myself, you know?
Let me ask you this really quick. For those kids that are listening that are in high school, because we do have kids that are, you know, 14, 13, 14, 15 that tune into this podcast on iTunes, it could be really tough, man. When I was on the football team, And looking at the kids on the wrestling team, I was like, wow, we actually have it kind of easy. These kids on the wrestling team, they bust their ass. What do you say to that kid right now listening that may want to quit next year, take a year off? What do you say to him?
I would not, because you'll regret it for the rest of your life. I have former teammates that took time off and everything, and they tell me all the time how much they regret it.
You don't come back.
They stuck it through.
Yeah, you don't come back from it.
Yep, you only have one high school career. You make it the best career you can. Even if you're 0-100, 0-200 in your matches, as long as you keep on, you give 110%, that's all that matters. That's all that matters is 110% and you trying and continuously trying to get better and improving and having a good mind frame. You know, that's it. Who cares if you lose all your matches? As long as you give 100%, because giving 100% in that is going to help you through life. That's going to teach you good values and good, you know, how to work hard and everything.
I got two more questions for you before we leave you. You went to University of Hawaii. What was that like, man?
That was fun. You know, I had a good time down there. I did a lot of surfing, bodyboarding, you know, laying on the beach.
How big of a star is BJ Penn down there? Is he really that big of a star down there?
I actually didn't even know what MMA was when I was down there.
Wow. That's so crazy to hear, man, because right now, you know, we got Max Holloway going up against our boy here on the East Coast, Frankie Edgar. Quick prediction. You got one?
Frankie.
The distance, or how do you think he's going to get it done?
Distance.
All right, my last question to you, and you know I got to bring it up, man. I warned you I got to bring it up. You know, everyone's really wondering, what happened this weekend? You had two canceled bouts coming up, and this past weekend, you know, the promotion that you were fighting for, one of my favorite promotions here on the East Coast. They do a great job. One of my favorites, even the promoter has been here in studio. So
Bill's the man. Bill's the man.
He really is.
I love fighting for Ammo by League. You know, and it had nothing, honestly. Okay, so this is the thing. People got to, okay, so I had two opponents pull out. Bill searched. So my last opponent fell out on Sunday night. Bill found this guy on Monday for me to fight him. So I was going up in weight. It was at 75, so which is no problem. So everything's good, you know what I mean? You know, Friday he comes in, we weigh in. He's a little over, you know, whatever. Saturday he comes, and he's hammered when he came to the venue. So he's coming in our locker room and everything, drunk. Now, here's the thing. I know that everyone's probably thinking right now, oh, he's drunk, what an unprofessional guy. What people only see that part. People don't see that this guy's 4 hours earlier, they pulled the plug on this guy's father.
Wow. You know? Say that one more time. They pulled the plug on his father. His father
his
passed
father
away.
Died.
Wow.
His father died 4 hours before the event.
Wow. That
So as a human being, you can't sit here and shit on a person who just lost their father but still showed up because he made a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, and he wanted to fight for his father. Wow. If I'll tell you right now, if my mother was to die, I'd fucking go and get bombed.
You can't even wrap your head around that.
Wrap your head around it. So for people to be talking shit online, I haven't commented on any of this stuff. You know what I mean? People are laughing, you know, about it, thinking it's funny. That's the thing that I can't stand is people only see half the sides of stuff. Okay? Everyone's like, oh, man, that sucks for Leon, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, it sucked for me. At the time, I was upset.
It's momentary. It's not lifelong.
Yeah, it's momentary.
Yeah.
It's upset. And then 30 minutes later, you find out what happened in his personal life, how he lost his father. You're like, damn. You know, everything just goes out the window. You don't care about the fight or anything. You don't care about, you know what I mean? You don't care about anything else. You feel for this person.
Yeah.
You know, you feel, you're like, oh, dude, that's horrible, you know? But for my, the thing I'm more upset about, you know, is, you know, first off, I gotta say, Bill took care of me. So if anyone's like, oh, Bill didn't take it, Bill took care of me. He paid me not only my show, but my win purse.
Wow.
He didn't have to do that. You know, that was completely professional of him to do that. And that was awesome of him. You know what I mean? You know, now getting back to Cintron, he loses his father. Horrible. You know, he doesn't make any money, which is horrible, you know, but then you have all these people, you know, hagging him, talking shit about him. People, you know, taking a picture of him talking to a commissioner drunk. It's like, dude, like, bro, the kid just lost his father. You think he needs that right now? It's like, you gotta be fucking compassionate at some point in your life. You can't, like, if you want to fucking sit there and just make fun of the kid, you know, and be like, oh yeah, what a fucking loser, blah blah blah. Okay, well, there's not anything wrong with him, because he's grieving and he's dealing with the grief in his own way. There's something fucking wrong with you, because you're being a judgmental fucking asshole.
Now I'll be totally honest with you right now. I think it's so impressive of him to even go through a fight camp. I don't know the exact story, if his father was sick or if it was sudden, but just to even show up on fight night.
From what I heard, when he took the fight on Monday, his father was traveling from Boston out here to train.
Wow.
Back to Boston. This is a story that I got. So his father was hanging on all week.
I'm speechless right now. Wow. That's a story that a lot of people, I feel, need to hear, because this culture that we live in right now is so judgmental. They hear one thing, they side with it without hearing both sides.
You got, like, people like fucking Steve Domenico making fucking memes about it.
Oh, like, whoa.
It's like, bro, like, dude, like, try to do that shit fucking up here. You know what I mean? You guys do fucking all this online shit, and it's not cool.
Leon.
Like, that shit's bully shit, you know?
Leon, I've had an issue with Steve doing stuff like that. Me and him were actually supposed to fight, and listen, before Steve Domenico even started his career on podcasting, he came on Pure Evil MMA to learn how to do it. I taught that man how to do things, and then he started crossing the line, drinking on press row, acting like a jerk, talking down to fighters, thinking who he is, thinking he's famous, and I had an issue with that. Now, obviously, I steer away from that. To hear that right now does not surprise me one bit,
like,
at all.
I don't have a problem with Steve at all. Well, I don't have a problem with anyone, but I just think that it's just wrong.
Classless.
Being a human being with, and human beings are supposed to have some sort of compassion. There has to be a line where you have to be compassionate. You know what I mean? Yes, the kid was 0-8. Yes, he was drunk. But his father fucking died. Give it at least 4 weeks before you start ripping on him. You know what I mean? Let the kid fucking grieve.
And if you do rip on him and you don't know the full story and then find out, delete everything.
Delete everything and
apologize.
Put out a formal apology. Like literally, if it was me, and I was making posts and everything, like a lot of people have been on social media, I would put out a public apology. To, oh my God, hey, I just want to give my condolences to, you know, the Cintron family about their loss. I would do that 100%. I would delete everything, but you know,
first you would reach out to him. You reach out to him.
Yeah, and be like, I did not know.
Yeah.
Man, I am so sorry, you know. But, you know, people like the drama and everything. Like I said, I got no problem with Steve. I just think it was, you know, just.
You're just being real.
It was hurtful towards that kid, you know. And he was the only one that was saying stuff, you know. But he was the only one that I saw, you know. It was him and maybe a few others. I don't even know, but it was just like, come on, man. You know what I mean? I was going to say something, but then I was like, you know what, man, I'm just going to stay out of it, because then, you know.
I know where this goes, yeah.
Yeah, I know where this goes. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and get in a debate with a, you know, 55-year-old man.
Mailman, yeah.
You know, so it, to me, it's like, it is what it is. And honestly, like, if people think I'm upset about not being able to fight Jesus Cintron, I'm really not. I'm more upset that the Drew Fricket fight fell through. I'm more upset that the Jeff Anderson fight fell through, you know? I'm more upset those fights fell through than fucking Cintron. At least, you know, I'm not saying that these guys didn't get hurt or anything, but at least this guy showed up, you know?
That shows that he's a true fighter. That shows a lot about him.
That shows a lot. Like, that setup shows a lot, you know what I mean? So, you know, you gotta feel like compassionate towards people in those situations, you know? It's unfortunate and everything, but, you know, kind of what a lot of them are doing them is like cyberbullying stuff, which is kind of screwed up, you know? If you think about it, like, it's like they kind of cyberbullied them because they're just making memes and, like, just making fun of
these are adults, Leon. These are adults. Imagine the kids in high school. They get cyber. These are adults we're talking about right now.
Yeah, you know, and for them to think it's okay to do that stuff. And I hope that now that they found out the real story, what happened,
they do the
you
right
know,
thing.
How his father, you know, at least delete the stuff and, yeah. You know, stop cracking jokes on him. You know what I mean? Because, honestly, like, there's no reason why promotions should be battling with each other, you know, and these guys should be against this promotion should be against that promotion, and these writers need to be against the other promotion because they're loyal to this. It's like, just like, it's crazy.
We should all be working together. Yeah, we should all be real and working together.
And I talked to JoJo for like 20 minutes last night, and you know,
when you say JoJo, you mean Joe Giannetti.
Joe Giannetti.
Yes.
I talked to him for like 20 minutes last night, and he agreed with me, you know, because I'm a little bit older than him. I kind of told him, hey man, you know, you gotta just calm down a little bit, find out all the facts before you do anything, you know. Just like this thing with, you know, Cintron. I guarantee you didn't know about his father.
I had no idea until this moment right now.
Exactly. So now you got all the facts, where you only had half the facts before. Oh, he came drunk to the ammo fights. Okay, that's half the story. Now that you have the full story, how different is it?
Night and day. And this is why I do this. This is why I have people on the show to explain and get this story out, because without, you know, interviews, without journalists, without this platform, a lot of people would be one-sided. You know, that's what I love about this. And I hope that what you just shared with everybody could change, will change. There's no way it's not going to change once you hear the full story. But it's a lesson. It's a lesson is what you're saying, because a lot of the people right now, they hear one thing. For instance, John Jones. They hear, oh, John Jones slapped a stripper. Oh, well, he did this and that in the past, so he's guilty. No, whoa. Let's hear the full story first.
Exactly.
Right?
You know what I mean? Let's hear the full story. People like drama.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, people, especially people that have no fucking lives, they like to get drama going, so they have something to talk about and something to do.
It raises clout. It raises attention more than positive stories, which is sad.
Yeah. You know, and it's like we should be, you know, there's so many fake people in this MMA stuff. There's so many.
Look at what happened when Nick Newell lost. Nobody was talking about the guy who won. They were talking about Nick Newell losing.
Yeah.
It's just messed up, man. It's just sad the way that social media has. And think about this generation coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot to learn.
The thing about it too is like, if you win, they can't, like you just said, like, instead of giving the kid props, they're focusing on something else. You know, give people their props. You know, give people their dues. You know what I mean? People are like, oh, I can't believe that Bill matched Cintron and Leon. Okay, how about that he matched me with three other guys beforehand, and those fights fell through. It was literally like one week, hey, you got to fight. Sent me a belt agreement. Yo, dude, this fucking guy got hurt. Fucking, literally, 3 days later, hey, I found another guy. Found Anderson. All right, let's go. Oh, there's something wrong with this CAT scan. Like, what the, you know what I mean? And then fucking last minute, I sold over 100 tickets. Like, you think they're gonna have me refund tickets? You know? Yeah. Do you think they're gonna, like, oh? And then this guy took it. I had to bump up two fucking weight classes. You know? This guy took it, thankfully, on Monday, a last minute fight. It wasn't like I was preparing 5 weeks to fight this kid. You know what I mean? I would never do that. I'm not the kind of person. I like challenging myself. I would never fucking do that. But sometimes when fights fall out, you have to get a last-minute opponent. It doesn't matter what they're fucking. It could have been reverse. He could have been 8-0 last minute. You know?
It's just crazy right now, and we really hope that you get this fight coming up for Cage Titans. Now, really quick, before we let you go, our boy that you've trained with at Lozon's, why am I drawing a blank? Fabio?
Fabio, yes, Fabio.
He's got a fight coming up for Contender Series, right? In like a week or two.
Yes, I'm predicting. Second round TKO, Fabio.
He's something else, man. I was there at his very first professional fight, and I've been following this kid through and through. And he is something. You got to keep your eyes on this kid, guys. Last but not least, what we like to do at this point in the interview, man, is hand the imaginary microphone over to you. If you got any shout-outs, any sponsors, social media tags, anything at all, the floor is now all yours.
You guys can follow me at Davis1504 on Instagram. You know, Leon Davis 160 at Twitter. I'd like to thank all my training partners at Triforce MMA, Team Link, and Lozon's MMA, my coaches, you know, Pete Jeffrey, Dave Keith, Greg Ribello.
Hey, what's going on with Greg? Is he coming back, or what's going on with
Greg? He's fighting on Friday.
Oh, wow. Is he really?
Yeah, he's fighting Kevin Haley for the CES title.
Get out of here. Because last time I spoke with him, he said he was retiring. I got his poster behind us right now.
He's not retiring.
That is awesome to hear.
I love Greg. He literally is, like, I am Greg's biggest fan. Like, that guy has done so much for me personally and professionally. Dude, that guy, Greg is like one of the... has one of the biggest hearts. Like, he was going to be in my corner this weekend.
Wow.
He drove out. Him, John Duma, and Tyson drove out. Tyson lives in New Hampshire. Greg and John Duma live at the bottom of Rhode Island. They drove to West Springfield to be in my corner. It's like an hour and a half each ride. They drove there for unfortunately,
what happened. That's a brotherhood, dude, right there.
I fucking love those guys down at Triforce. They are fucking awesome. We have guys that are purple belts that are fucking nasty that don't even fight MMA.
Wow.
And you'd be like, where the hell's this kid come from? They're just so good. Like, in the way that Coach Pete, you know, teaches is fucking amazing. And he's really underrated coach. He's fucking awesome. You know, same thing with Marco, same thing with, you know, Jay Franklin, same thing with freaking Tyson. Tyson's an awesome fucking coach, too. He's always giving advice. Tyson watches footage and will be like, and he'll literally give you stuff to work on for the next time you fight and what you should, hey, just be prepared. You did good on this, but let's improve. Let's improve on that where maybe a guy that, you know, as a good wrestler, can capitalize on that little bit of space that you're giving this guy. So let's close up that gap. You know, his mind on how he approaches fights and he studies films is fucking crazy.
Which is important to have, which is why TJ linked up with Dwayne, because he's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Got an eye for, you know, perfection, perfecting your craft. That's important.
Exactly. You know, so it's I'm very fortunate and I'm very happy where I'm at right now. you know.
Any sponsors?
Very, very happy.
You got any sponsors?
No, I don't really do sponsorship things.
Hey, do you do CBD? Have you tried CBD for recovery?
No, I don't. We actually can't do CBD.
Okay, that makes sense. Have you heard any good things about CBD or negative things? And if
yeah,
so,
I heard a lot of good things about CBD.
Like what?
You know, just the recovery, getting you sleep. You know, just relaxes you, gets your mind focused and everything. So it's good.
Would you definitely recommend that to somebody? To use as recovery instead. You know, these doctors out there, they're so quick to give it opiates, but yet there's so many safer alternatives that are finally getting approved.
Can I plead the fifth on that question?
Yeah, of course, 100%, 100%. But last but not least, man, social media, Twitter, Facebook, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook at Leon Davis. It's a picture of Captain America, of course. let's see, Davis1504 is my Instagram, LeonDavis160, Twitter, you know. Again, thank you to all my coaches, teammates, you know. I want to be successful as I have been if that wasn't for, you know, everyone that's in my corner.
Leon, I want to thank you so much for joining us finally here on Pure Evil in May, and I'll definitely make it out to your next fight, so make sure you let us know. I'll retweet it, I'll share it, and I'll definitely be there. God bless, and have a safe night, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you very much. Have
God
a great
bless.
Night.
There you guys go, Leon Davis. How about that? What a lesson in that story. Before you cast judgment, make sure you hear both sides of a story. When one of your friends says something about this one or that one, don't say, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, I know, oh, I can understand. Swallow it. Digest it and ask for the full story. I feel like a lot of people, and especially in this MMA scene, are so quick to cast stones. And I feel like that's something that all of us need to improve on. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. And, you know, I'd say maybe not you that are listening right now, but I'd say at least 90% of people out there, and you got to agree with that, guys, are guilty of casting opinion on situations without getting the full story, without coming full circle. And right now, tonight, is a great example of that. For his opponent to even show up. Yeah, the story that we heard was his opponent showed up drunk and couldn't fight. Little did we know, his opponent had to pull the plug on his father. Now, for somebody like Leon Davis, yeah, this sucks to not fight tonight. But it's not permanent. His opponent's weekend is a weekend that he's never going to forget. It's a permanent, permanent emotion, a permanent reality. Losing your father, between losing your father and not fighting, there's a big difference there. And I was not surprised when he said Stephen Domenico threw out all these memes bashing this kid. Imagine losing your father and thinking, you know, you have the best intentions. I feel like that happens to me a lot. Like, I have good intentions for a lot of things. And then this will happen, and then it makes me look bad. Oh, I came into this with good intent. I came here to help. I came here to help you and improve this and that. But yeah, I'm bad for going out of my way. And I feel like that's the exact situation here. This guy took a fight on short notice. That night, finds out that he's going to have to pull the plug on his father. Instead of calling up, which a lot of people will do, I'd say 99% of people would do. If I was standing at my father's bedside and I had a fight coming up or an interview to do, I'd immediately text the fighter and say, man, I can't make it. Even calling to work, I can't make it to work tonight. This fighter didn't even let anybody know. Drove out to the fight. He was ready to go, man. Yeah, you might have been under the influence. Understandably. which is why you need to get the full story before you make these disgusting, insulting memes. With that being said, guys, I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. PureEvilMMA.com, where you can find all the latest MMA news, interviews, and podcasts. And also, guys, we got a lot of interviews up with Melvin Gallard, another guy who's trying to turn his life around and be forgiven for a lot of things going on and that have been brought up on TMZ or whatnot. So check that out. Also, interview with Joe Jannetty, which we talked about right here in this interview with Leon Davis. So you do not want to miss that. And Leon Kuntz. Leon Kuntz, who spoke about surviving drug addiction and how he was able to escape to become a contestant and a contender in the number one MMA promotion on the planet. In the UFC. Very inspiring month here in 2019 for January. Dude, in January have been inspiring interviews and something that's going to stick with me for a long time. That's why I love doing this, and I hope that you guys have been enjoying all of these interviews that we've been dropping lately, because they are not just interviews, they're lessons. And it's not just talking to fighters, it's more like talking and hearing from your friends and being inspired and motivated. And man, I wake up, I say this all the time, I wake up every morning excited and motivated about who I'm gonna talk to, what I'm gonna learn, what am I gonna find out about this story. And I'm thinking this is gonna happen, but then I find out, wow, tonight's a great example of it. So I wanna thank Leon Davis for joining us. Subscribe down below here on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Podomatic. Wherever you're tuning in right now, Periscope, Facebook, give us a thumbs up. Guys, last but not least, I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. Without evil, there's no purity. Wait until the end. Leave us off.